A plan to deliver more than €500 million in savings in the health service next year has been published today after a government report suggested that hospital activity has not kept pace with increases in staffing and resources in recent years. A Department of Health HSE action plan targets non-pay savings this year of approximately €224 million, rising to €554 million in a full year. They include on medicines, procurement, the cost of long-term residential care for older people and management consultancy. A separate report also released today identifies a significant divergence between the expenditure and the workforce provided relative to the growth in activity in the health service. So for more on this, we're joined in studio by the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. Very good afternoon to you, Minister, and welcome to the programme. Perhaps I could come first to this productivity report. You commissioned it because you began to have questions yourself about what was happening to the additional investment in the health service in recent years. And this covers the period, I think, 2016 to 2022. So partly covered by the COVID pandemic. What does it tell you?
What it tells us is what we're seeing in Ireland, Brian, is a reduction in productivity that they're seeing in the UK, they're seeing in various countries around Europe. There's a lot of progress being made. There's been huge investment. There's been a lot of reform. Our healthcare workers are doing an excellent job in driving down the waiting list, driving down the number of patients on trolleys, and rolling out new services. We're seeing now in more and more areas, for example, people who previously would have waited years for healthcare, be it cataracts in Dublin or gynaecology in Sligo or other areas, people who were waiting years are now waiting months. So the investment is working. But one of the things we have to do to set the health service up for years to come is increase productivity. Let me give you a quick example. One of the areas we've looked at is the amount of outpatient appointments being done per consultant. Now, our consultants are working just as hard as they ever have, but they're getting less time to spend on outpatients. And so what we're seeing over a period of time from 2016 onwards is they're seeing less patients in a given year than they used to. Now, that's not their fault. I'm talking to clinical leads about it. I'm talking to hospital teams about it. What the doctors are saying to me is, yes, the number of doctors has gone up, but we need to see the supports increase. We need to see clinical rooms available. We need to see theatres available. Some of them have said that infection prevention and control brought in through COVID reduced the number that they could see. But they are saying themselves, look, it's time now to meet up as the clinical leadership in our health service and increase the amount of care being provided. So it's a combination.
Are you saying that the additional resources, extra staff, extra money that's gone into the health service should be producing more activity? There should be greater productivity.
I'm saying two things. I'm saying the extra resources that are going in is increasing the amount of patients being seen.
But not commensurate to the amount of additional resources.
Not commensurate to the amount of additional resources. And that really is the focus, to say we have invested, we'll keep investing. For example, we're going from about 3,000 hospital consultants up to 6,000 hospital consultants. But if we're to achieve our goal, which is every patient can get the care they need when they need it, we need, as well as investing and growing the service, we need to get as much as we can from the resources that we have.
But there could, again, according to the report, be lots of reasons for this productivity gap, if you like, or productivity puzzle, I think is the phrase that's used in the report. It could be the impact of COVID is identified. It could be the effect of Ukrainian refugees coming here and the complexities that adds to the delivery of treatment. It could be demographic changes. It could be birth rates falling in some hospitals, which means less activities in those hospitals as a result of that. So this is a very complex picture, isn't it?
It is, and that's exactly why we've spent a lot of time looking at the numbers, looking at what's driving this, talking to the doctors, talking to the clinical leaders. I put in place a productivity and savings task force then at the start of this year. This is not an easy thing to unpick. But what the doctors are saying to me really comes down to two things. They're saying you need to keep investing. The government needs to keep investing, that they need more staff, they need more theatres, they need more clinical rooms, and they're right. What they're also saying to me is they can probably do a bit of a check-in themselves, do a bit of a refresh themselves. I'll give you one simple example. Yeah, there was one clinical lead. He said, look, in any given day, he said, our team pre-COVID probably saw 50 patients a day. And he said, when COVID happened, because of the COVID, we had to go down to about 30 a day.
Okay.
And he said, there's really no reason why we haven't gone back up to 50, and we now really need to get together and do that. So it's a combination
of things. You've been in this job 4 years. We're within sight of the finish line of this government. And now you're saying that there are issues in relation to productivity in the health service. Now you're coming forward with a report to say we need to tackle this. Now you're coming forward with a cost-saving plan.
Oh, well, not at all. We've been working on this from day one. So if we're going to have a legitimate conversation on productivity, we have to invest first. There's no point engaging with doctors who are saying to us, we don't have enough beds, we don't have enough nursing staff, we don't have enough hospital consultants. There's no point engaging with them and saying, we just need you to do more. That's not a reasonable conversation to have. We needed to show that the government was serious about achieving universal healthcare, everyone being able to get the care they need when they need. Now, the other thing we had to do over the last few years is we had to build productivity into the service. The new public-only consultant contract, we launched it a year ago. Now half the consultants are on it. Advanced practice in nursing. These are the things we've been putting in place over the last few years.
We know, Minister, that you were looking for an extra $1.3 billion in this year's budget for the HSE. And you're coming today with savings, you say, that could be something of the order of $440 million. Now, where's that going to come from this year?
It's going to come from different places. One of the things we're doing is reducing the dependency on overtime and on agency. We spend far too much on agency. So what I want to do is increase our permanent workforce, roll out safe staffing in all our hospitals, in all our wards, keep going towards our target of 6,000 hospital consultants, and reduce the reliance on overtime, reduce the reliance on agency. We're going to reduce the medicines budget. Now, clearly, to be clear for your listeners, we're increasing the spend on new medicines by 30 million euro, but we believe that we can get better deals, better prices through negotiation. We're looking at better procurement practices within the hospitals. We're looking at the HSE-run nursing homes, because as the private providers have said many times, they've said, look, there's a big discrepancy between the costs per nursing home.
They say they're underfunded.
They do. And so what we're doing is we're looking at exactly what the drivers of the higher costs in the HSE facilities are and saying, are there things we can learn? Are there different ways of working?
You're going to save money on in those HSE-run care homes. Is that right?
We're looking at it. So we're looking at all of the drivers of these.
Is that figure in the 440 million? Is there a saving from the nursing home sector?
It's one of the measures in the.
So you intend to save money on that particular sector?
We're looking at what can be done. What we are aware is that there is a big discrepancy between the costs between various nursing homes, and we need to understand where there are savings that can be made that we can grab them. Because ultimately, Brian, we have to do two things. We have to keep investing in healthcare. We have to keep growing the number of beds, building the hospitals, building the primary care centres, hiring the healthcare workers. At the same time, public expenditure and reform quite rightly have challenged and said, if we're going to invest, we must be able to see more and more and more patients being treated for that investment. And if I could just finish on this and say, to be clear, the number of patients treated last year was the highest level it's ever been. It'll be higher again this year. And what this is about is saying, are there more ways we can treat more patients and drive the waiting list down faster?
All right. Before I let you go, Minister, I'd like to get your reaction to the comments, and it'll be carried in an RT investigation. Programme this evening. Barrister Marie O'Shea, who carried out the review of our abortion laws, it was published, I think, about this time last year. She made a number of recommendations, most of which have not been implemented. And she says one of the results of that is that women who seek terminations abroad because they miss various deadlines here are being treated as criminals. And says it's time that you acted on the recommendations that she brought forward, will you?
Well, first of all, most of the recommendations in the report are being implemented. The vast majority of recommendations in that report are operational recommendations. I brought the report to government last year. We set up a HSE working group on the back of that. And let me give you one example of the progress that's being made. At the start of this government's term, only 10 of the 19 maternity hospitals were providing termination services. That's gone from 10 to 17. And by the end of this year, it should be all 19. So it's important to say that our healthcare workers are doing an awful lot to progress these services. There are additional recommendations which may require legislative change. I got a report back from the Health Committee in December. Mm-hmm. That's something that's now being discussed at a governmental level. What I would say, so Brian...
Would that include, for example, the 3-day wait, which according to her report, report, Ms. O'Shea's report, can extend to 4 or 5 days in some cases, if it includes a weekend, for example.
So the extension to 4 or 5 days is an operational issue. And if there are any legislative issues, that's a matter that government is looking at and ultimately government will decide on. On the 3 day wait, I just say two quick things. The first is that when I knocked on doors and when many of us knocked on doors campaigning for repeal, I had very detailed conversations with voters in Wicklow and around the country, and they voted for repeal on the basis of what was in the heads of bill. Now, whether I or anyone else agrees or disagrees,
but you also instituted a review process, which was designed to give an ongoing assessment of how the legislation was operating. For example, the 12-week cut-off limit. Again, that's something she says needs to be looked at.
I think we have to apply common sense here. I'm not satisfied that we have women who are getting caught by a day or two on one side of that 12 weeks. That's not, that was never, that I don't believe that's the intention of it. We have to
That seems to be what's happening.
Which is exactly the point of the review and exactly why
so
we're
what
looking,
action has been taken on
all
that
of these
as a result of the review a year ago?
So the Joint Committee on Health has looked at it. They came back to me in December. It's now being looked at by government. In the meantime, there are operational changes that can be made. So in terms of people having to wait 4 or 5 days, for example, that's not a legislative issue. Right. That's an operational issue that's being looked at by the working group.
And the 12-week limit, is that something that could change within the term of this government?
I don't want to preempt what government says. My position on this is, we have to apply common sense. We have to do what is right by women. We have to do what is right by patients. On the 3 day wait, as an example, the original implementation of that was a woman had to go and meet, physically see the GP twice. During COVID, we changed that to one visit and one phone call. We've now kept that as the permanent operating model. So there's already been a significant reduction in the onerous nature of that. And so government will look at both what the report says. Government will also be cognizant of what people voted for in the referendum. We have to balance those two things.
All right. Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, thanks very much for talking to us on the programme.